Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper P. Quinnell and today I'm joined by Tempest the Wrestler.
Jesus Christ, I'm Tempest. My throat attacked me.
See, I couldn't tell if that was a bit or not. I couldn't tell whether that was intentional because you held it for a little bit and it looked like just as you opened your mouth, your hand was already going up for the cough. So I was like, wait, is that just a bit where he's like can't say his name properly?
Not now. I've been so good for like 5 minutes before this. And then as soon as we hit the record button, I feel the little tickle in my throat.
Oh man. That's not gone well. How you doing today, bud?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. I talked about on the last podcast that I dyed my hair. So that's still very new. I'm still getting a shock whenever I walk in front of a mirror because this is the first time I've ever dyed my hair. Finished a lovely playthrough of Pokemon last night. That was very enjoyable.
Okay. Well, we're going to need to save that for the outro because I have questions. Continue. But yes, we'll talk about that in more detail.
And depending on how today goes, might be getting the vaccine. Fingers crossed. It's Ontario. It's not a sure thing whatsoever, but we will see how it goes. Again, it all depends on just the luck of the universe shining upon me on this day.
Yeah, well, I've got everything crossed for you. But for now, let's get into talking about NXT. Let's get into the main portion of the show. The first thing we're going to be talking about is this whole diamond mine that might be a new NXT faction debuting. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about this potential new faction in NXT. This was just kind of a little throwaway, almost like video package segment thing that very much looked like an advert to start with. Goodness me, I thought it was an ad.
I really did, because they run MMA on the same channel here as NXT. I was like, are they just doing a commercial for Bellator or Strikeforce or something? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's literally just like, here's some MMA, and it was like, get inspired, fitness, yeah, was basically just the whole vibe of the thing. But then at the very end, it just kind of built up to this big logo reveal, and it panned back, and the logo was for a thing called Diamond Mine. So yeah, as you've seen on the thumbnail, most likely, that's the logo that's there. And it looked like it's some sort of MMA-inspired faction of some sort. Which I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I'm sure it could be good. I don't know who's going to be in it. I know a lot of people have been speculating. I've seen tons of speculation online with loads of different names. People saying Jessamyn Duke, which I don't think is going to happen. She's recently said that she's busy doing video content for like Up Up Down Down and working in more like digital mediums with WWE. So probably not her. Some people saying it's Tessa Blanchard, which I can't see in any way, shape or form. I don't think she's got anything to do with MMA, at least not in her character, at least, unless she's having a massive repackage of everything and being brought in that sense, which I don't think is right. There was one which I forgot to get the picture. I'm going to go get the picture real quick. Fill for time, because Ryan Satin put out a very interesting tweet that I think is probably the most likely option. But yes, Tempest, talk about what you think while I go get this picture.
Well, I also have no idea what this could be. I also thought it was an advert, and I'm wary about a lot of these MMA-inspired gimmicks most of the time, because like it's so difficult to do MMA in wrestling properly, and even harder when it's WWE, because they don't really seem to know how to do it, you know, because like you'll get MMA people coming in like Matt Riddle, and Matt Riddle never, like, he does mat grappling and stuff like that, but he doesn't portray himself like he's an MMA fighter. He still doesn't wrestle without shoes and stuff, but there's a definite line that he crosses into pro wrestler from just being like an MMA fighter, whereas Brock Lesnar is closer to the MMA side a lot of the time, at least in his presentation. So I'll kind of reserve judgment for how I feel about the new stable. Maybe it's just one person. Maybe Diamond Mine is just a really weird name for one person. You never know. I wouldn't put it past them. Maybe Vince just found out that diamonds spawn near lava and really wanted to share it.
Yeah, maybe it's just one big Minecraft reference. Who knows? Yeah.
You never know. I remember like 10 years ago when people were really sold on the idea that Vince watched the Avengers for the first time. It was like, we got to call these guys the Shield, pal. Because I totally believe that happened.
Wait, but the Shield debuted at the same year the Avengers movie came out. That can't happen. They would have debuted 7 years later if that was the case, actually. But yeah, there was a really interesting tweet from Ryan Satin that pointed out there's a bunch of people, this lot over here, that have been in the Performance Center for a while. And I do have their names. Going from left to right, we have Odyssey Jones, we have Cal Bloom, Desmond Troy, Ezra Judge, and Daniel Vidot. And those guys have essentially been going in the Performance Center for a while. Apparently they were going by like The Trust before for a while, which was going to be their name for a bit, but it looks like they might have changed that to Diamond Mine as this faction. Yeah, and obviously you saw that would be on Ezra Judge's Instagram story. So, you know, pressure didn't break us, pressure's what made us, which is, you know, how diamonds are made, the pressure. So it all kind of links into it as well. So it's very possible. I don't really know anything about these guys other than the fact that they have been in the Performance Center, but I don't know too much about their work previously or elsewhere outside of it. I honestly, as much as the video package did look like an advert, I'd be excited for them to properly try an MMA style faction, because they've done, like you said before, they've had little influences of MMA in characters, people like Riddle, like Shayna Baszler, you know, stuff like that, very, very kind of like MMA influenced. But a full, like, no, we are here to fight, and that is it. We don't care about this pro wrestling shenanigans. We're here to just have a fight all the time. Could be quite interesting. And I think that this could be... I think it could be quite interesting, but I the only thing that's kind of giving me pause right now is that they've just broken up Undisputed Era, and I feel like they've just gone, we need a heel faction. So then they've got in a bunch of guys to try and like fill that void, which I'm really hoping they haven't done, because I feel like if these guys are going to be kind of like in the same way that the Shield on the main roster were like three unknowns that came to the main roster, that is three unknowns who came in and just all became stars at the same time. I feel like they'd want to do a similar thing with these guys who would be unknowns to NXT and just steamroll and become like the top guys out of nowhere. I don't know if they'd be able to do that when they kind of already did that with Undisputed Era to a degree. Obviously, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish were a bit more well-known than a lot of these guys. No offense to them, but, you know, they've made their names in other companies and stuff. So I don't know where this is going to go or how I'm going to feel when they get there. I'm just hoping that the logo looks very nice. So yeah, it seems that they've put a lot of effort into that. So maybe it'll be good. I'm unsure.
Like I said, I'll reserve judgment. Like, you can do a group of shooters in pro wrestling, but it's like, it's so tricky because if you're telling people like, oh, these guys are real fighters and everything like that, then immediately people think that they shouldn't be losing. And then it all becomes difficult because you can't have like a full faction of guys and have nobody take falls at any point, unless you're doing something like, you know, where the Shield didn't lose for like, you know, 6 months or however long it was. Like, you can do that for an extended period of time, but after that, like, you still need people to lose, and it just becomes a little bit more complicated when they're supposed to be like legit fighters and stuff like that. So I'll reserve judgment and wait to see how everything goes, but I am kind of excited to see like a faction of just purely new people where like they'll come in and there won't be expectations placed on them by fans of other promotions. Because people who saw Undisputed Era in Ring of Honor will have like high expectations. And I mean, obviously they were met, but it'll be nice to see a group that has like a clean slate going in. So I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it could be very fun. And even just like from the look of the you know, that one picture that I put up before, they look like a cool looking unit. Like that, you know, that they're all seem like pretty big guys as well, which is, you know, a nice change of pace for NXT. Not dissing NXT because it's great, but just in general, like a lot of people seem to be on the you know, on the smaller side a little bit. But yeah, I don't know if I've frozen or if Tempest has, but if it's not me, I'm just gonna keep talking.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We should probably get into your Ultra Chats, if we can. I don't know if I'm here or if Tempest's here, but I'm just going to keep talking as if I'm here. We've got one from Jonathan Hedman, who comes in to say DDP to NXT confirmed. Amazing. That would be awful. This is so weird. There's two Tempests in the back end. This is strange.
What's happening?
There's another one of you in the back end, buddy.
I don't two know Tempests. What's happening. Can
there's still another Tempest right there. I'm gonna get a screenshot before it goes.
What is going on? It blipped out just now. I didn't touch anything.
That's incredible. I'm gonna
say I've never had internet problems during streams until like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. What's going on?
Hold on. Where is it?
I've been doing Quizzlemania for a year and I've never had this issue.
Where's it gone? There it is. It's loading. It's loading. Here we go. There it is. There's two of them. There's two of them in the back end.
That's Tempest. That's my evil twin. He also likes Pearl Jam.
Tempest two screens over here. Goodness me, that was hilarious. All right. yes, Jonathan Edmund comes in with an ultra chat to say DDP to NXT confirmed.
Bang.
Bang. Diamond. Okay, Diamond Mine would be a cool little name for like a DDP-led faction. I could buy that. I think that would be quite cool. I don't see it, personally.
Well, I think he's like fairly connected with AEW to this point. Like, yeah. I don't know if he has like an official role backstage, but he's definitely linked with everyone. So I mean, I don't think it's that, but
yeah, it would be interesting if it did happen. I wouldn't be against it necessarily. I just don't see it happening. Mm-hmm. We've got an NXT miscellaneous one here from Bacon Rasher. It says, "Hi lads, decent NXT overall for me, but I hope you're not hope they're not splitting up Imperium. Grizzled Young Vets amazing as always. Plus Timothy Thatcher and Ciampa, yes please. Not sure on Diamond Mine. I just thought it was an advert. Finally, remember Tempest, Bold It Club are coming for you. Everyone wants you to be bold.
I guess so. I have long purple hair right now."
You most certainly
do. It doesn't come across purple so much in this light, and especially right at the ends. But Bald It Club can wait. I'm not there yet. Give it time. Yeah. Give it time. I'll join the club eventually, but not now.
Yeah. We'll definitely get to those bits and pieces when we talk about the rest of the show. But yes, we definitely thought Diamond Mine was an ad because it looked like an ad for an energy drink or some sort of supplement thing. The show started off with Dakota Kai versus Mercedes Martinez. No promos, no recap packages, no nothing. They just came out and they wrestled. And I really liked it.
Spectacular.
So, okay, I will say, in this one moment, I was like, oh, this is so different to the main roster. This is so nice because they didn't play any recap packages. They didn't, you know, they didn't overtly say like, here's the story that you need to know. Here's the promo that Mercedes Martinez put. Here's the Dakota Kai's response that they had. And this is how this match came together. They just said, no, these two here's what like the commentary team explained it for you and just said, hey, here's what was said last week as they're making their entrances. This is how this match has been set up. Great. Do that more.
So simple, so easy. Like I opened the written review with this because I was just like, it took me aback for a second where I was like, oh my god, this is a WWE show starting with wrestling. Like I was just like, it was so foreign to me. Like I was just like, what in the world? Like, and I love it. It's perfect. We need more of this. If we got this on like Raw and SmackDown every week, I would enjoy those shows like 10 times more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean the opening match that we had on SmackDown last week, that the tag match with Cesaro and Bryan versus Rollins and Uso. If they just opened the show with that, oh, imagine that'd be great. And I thought this was a fun little match. Quite enjoyed this one. Some really nice offense from both of them. I really liked there was the one move that Mercedes Martinez did, which kind of had him in like a razor's edge position, god my words, and then kind of transitioned into just like a slam, like what's the word I'm looking for, kind of like a dominator almost.
Yeah.
Like the old school dominator, not the crap one that Lashley does. I was really quite enjoying the match, and then I got reminded that this is in fact a WWE product because Raquel Gonzalez got in the ring, caused a DQ, and I was like, why'd you do that? I just don't like DQ finishes. It's a massive shame because I was really enjoying the match and there wasn't any need for it. Like you can quite clearly have Mercedes Martinez win. Like she's clearly going to be like the next contender for Raquel. You can just have her win. And it seems odd to me as well, because it feels like to me, everyone wants to get behind Raquel Gonzalez. Like after her title win, everyone's gone, oh man, we really appreciate all the work you've put in to get here. We really like you as our champion. And they even had like a fairly babyface promo from her. She had the nice moment with Bianca and Rhea where they came to NXT and they were celebrated with the titles. And it's like, Raquel is our new babyface and everyone loves her. And Mercedes Martinez feels like someone that people want to boo. So it feels like you have a very natural dynamic here of the plucky new champion being like, I finally made it to the top. And the person that's gone, huh, you don't deserve to be here. Let me knock you off your perch, son. That feels like a very natural dynamic. And they've just gone, let's flip it. Let's just do the opposite to that. Because Raquel was the out and out heel in this one, like causing distractions, came in and did the DQ finish and then beat up Mercedes Martinez afterwards, you know, like laundered her into the barricade in the side and stuff like that. It just seemed very odd to me that they would go full heel on Raquel Gonzalez when people quite organically want to cheer her.
Yeah. The match itself I thought was like fine. Like it was a really like solid opening match, but everything about it afterwards just kind of felt a little bit off. Like, you can't beat Dakota Kai, you know? Like, to set up the number one contender for this match, like, Mercedes Martinez hasn't gotten a lot of wins lately. Like, I think she beat someone a week or 2 weeks ago. But aside from that, like, she hasn't won any matches. And this would be, like, a really easy way to build up her getting the next title shot is to beat Raquel Gonzalez's friend, who, I mean, they haven't done anything with Dakota Kai recently, so there's no reason that you need to protect her. But, like, you could do everything else the same way about it, like have her throw her into the barricade, lawn dart, or the whole deal. You can do that and just have that happen after the match. Like, at least give us the finish of the match first, and then have that happen. But no, they didn't do that. And I agree that the whole babyface heel dynamic here just feels very odd, especially after the celebration that Raquel had with Bianca and Rhea. Like, that to me is the biggest thing where that really felt like it maybe should have happened after the show and get put on like WWE.com. Cause like, it was a really cool moment and I really liked it while I watched it, but it really does kind of clash with her character in this feud. And I don't know, not the biggest fan of it in hindsight.
To me, I think it was a really effective babyface turn, but they just haven't followed through with the babyface turn. They've just turned a heel again, which is just didn't sit right with me. That's all. I think she's a very good heel. It just clashes with what they've been telling us.
Need consistency.
Exactly. Yes. So yeah, first match opener ended in a DQ. Unfortunate. But then we go backstage to Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon. And they say they've got to deal with the Robert Stone brand tonight. And I said, all right, well, that will be a big challenge. Sure. Then they get flowers. And they were like, oh, you shouldn't have. Then Frankie Monet comes in and says, hey, how you doing? And then she takes the card to see who the flowers are from. And she says, oh, they're from Dexter Lumis. And both of them said, I don't want the flowers. No, you take them. You know, you take them. You take them. You take them. Which, to be fair, quite good comedic timing on their part. Thought that was quite funny. Their little handoff of the flowers back and forth to each other was quite good. So we all know Dexter Lumis didn't send the flowers. Like, that's overtly obvious, right?
Well, all the goddamn commentators sure are fooled. I hate the commentary on this show.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I saw that, I was like, I really like that segment. Like, I really liked it. It was, like, clever storytelling because, like, it's very obvious what the story is here, right? Like, if you have to think for, like, half a second, but it's pretty obvious that these flowers came from Johnny and Candace and it's meant to make Indy upset and get her to stop thinking about Dexter Lumis. But for the rest of the show, like, Beth Phoenix, who's supposed to be a babyface, is like, I can't believe Dexter would do something like this. Poor Indy Hartwell. I'm just like, are you... These people are supposed to be smart. They're supposed to, like, I don't need you to explain the joke. Not be like, this is what's happening, guys. But you can at least be like, something about this doesn't add up.
Yeah, that's literally all you need to say. It's just like, that feels a bit off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the audience can fill in the rest. That's all you need. But yeah, It's fine. We'll get back to that later because that story continues. Speaking of continuing stories that went throughout the night, Cameron Grimes. God,
Cameron Grimes.
This made me laugh so much. Just the first part. Cameron Grimes, if it's a pre-recorded like video skit, he walks into this very nice watch shop, right? And immediately I was already laughing because he wasn't wearing a shirt. And I just like the idea of Cameron Grimes just going around in a jacket and a hat with no shirt to actual shops in the real world. I just love that idea, and I want him to do that more. And also, there's a really dumb line that ended this skit, which should not have made me laugh, and it really, really did. Of him just being like, "Oh yeah, I want to buy a watch. Let me see what you got." And the guy's like, "Okay, no worries. Let me get out a few of them. It might take a little bit." And he goes, "Don't worry, I got nothing but time. Come on, what are you waiting for? I ain't got all day."
What a great heel.
Such a stupid line, but made me laugh so much. I'd love Cameron Grimes. He's the best. And we'll come back to that later. To be continued came up on the screen. We then got an in-ring promo from the Grizzled Young Veterans, which is great. Odd to see James Drake talking.
Mm-hmm.
Wild. Gibson's the one that does the talking. But yeah, he said a few things, and then Gibson said a few things, just basically saying, "We're going to be the tag champs. We're the best." and said, you know, MSK is going to be in the main event because they're too scared to face us because they don't want to lose the titles. Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher interrupted the promo, and Ciampa references the shoes off chant, "Shoes off if you hate Gibson," which is great. I love UK crowds so much. I love the shoes off chant. Wasn't quite a good when Ciampa said it, but you know, it's fine. But then he takes his shoe off to be like, "Hey, shoes off if you hate Gibson," and then he hits him with his shoe, and then they just start brawling a little bit, which I thought was a nice little setup for a little Ciampa and Thatcher versus Grizzled Young Vets feud. Fleshes out the tag division a little bit more, and prevents kind of that Grizzled Young Vets MSK meeting for whenever that happens down the line. So I thought this was good. Good stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't, like, I was totally sold on the Grizzled Young Veterans promo, just because, I mean, like, all their promos are great. Mm-hmm. I wasn't super sold on the Thatcher and Ciampa promo. Like, it felt like Ciampa kind of came out and wasn't getting, like, a ton of reaction for a lot of what he was saying. But again, like, it wasn't a huge deal or anything. I'll be honest, I haven't seen TakeOver Cardiff, like, mm-hmm. the whole show, so I didn't really know what was going on here. And I get that's on me. But this felt like a moment where you really needed a commentator to be like, "Haha, I remember that from NXT TakeOver Cardiff where this and this mm-hmm. happened." Like, this is a spot where Excalibur would have just, like, exploded his knowledge into the screen, you know. Yeah. And I needed that and didn't get it, but I'm not going to hold it against the show, like, too much or anything.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to the match. Like, I think the match is going to be fantastic. Mm. I don't necessarily think this is going to be, like, a rivalry, one that goes on forever and ever. I think this could just be, like, one match, Grizzled Young Veterans win, they get a title shot. But again, who knows? Maybe this is a takeover match. I have no idea.
Yeah, maybe. Also, Ciampa called him Toothless Timmy, which
a lot
is probably going to be a t-shirt before long. Also, the shoes off chant is just a thing that UK crowds did to Zach Gibson just all the time when he was on the indie stuff. That was just the thing. Shoes off if you hate Gibson was the thing. And of course, they were in Cardiff, so the UK crowd did it. It was the best.
Can't wait to go to England and watch a wrestling show and just be like, "Look at all these silly chants."
I know, they're the best. We then got Drake Maverick and Killian Dane backstage. I quite liked this promo for a very mm-hmm. specific reason. Because they had the whole weird interaction with Dane and Alexander Wolf last week in the Imperium match, and Maverick was saying, "What the hell, man? We've got a tag team match against Imperium later. I've seen loads of wrestling. I know how this goes. You're going to join Imperium and you're going to turn on me." Like, on the entrance, bam, you attack me, you join Imperium. Or, "We're in a tag match. I go for a tag and you won't be there. Whoa. I know what's going to happen and I don't like it." And Dane then says, "You got to have faith." And that's it. And I like the fact that Drake Maverick isn't dumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's great when baby faces are smart. It's nice.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I liked this segment, but I'll talk about why I did and didn't like it a little bit more when we get to the match.
Fair enough. We then had Tian Sha had a little promo with Xia Li saying some stuff, apparently from the Bohemian Rhapsody music video. It was just the heads in complete darkness.
Galileo, Galileo.
Exactly. Well, you do the Fandango. Not him, though. yep. We then got, I love this as well, we got a Swerve promo. Isaiah Swerve Scott, and once again, we've mentioned before how just making every promo look different is the best, and you felt it the most with this Swerve promo. It was amazing. And they announced that next week is going to be a Falls Count Anywhere match with Leon Ruff, because that's what he wants to do, because the ring can't contain them anymore. Yeah. Hey, man, I'm really over this feud, but I'm really looking forward to it, because Swerve's a great promo. Like,
yeah,
I really liked it.
It'll be a really good match. Like, and that... Honestly, at this point, when it comes to most WWE programming, like if we get a really good match out of it, I'll let it go that it went one match too long, mm-hmm. and that's probably what's going to happen here. If Leon Ruff wins, then we got a bit of a problem, but I'll save that judgment for when it happens.
Yeah, please have Swerve win. I'm going to be so mad if Ruff wins this. We then got a very interesting match of Tony Storm versus Zeta Ramirez.
So
Tony comes out. Zeta Ramirez, by the way, for those who aren't up to date with NXT, is just an enhancement talent. It's just someone who comes out and gets beaten. Tony Storm comes out, cuts a pre-match promo, just saying, I'm going to embarrass Zoe Stark, and she owes me an apology, I think she said, or she owes me a favor, or something like that, anyway. And she says she's in the next chapter of Tony Storm, she's going to embarrass Zoe Stark. And she starts off the match hot. She beats up Zeta Ramir for 97% of this match. And just as it looks like she was going to go for Storm Zero, but then decided to get arrogant. And when I'm on the top rope to hit a top rope Storm Zero to make a point, Zoe Stark comes out and distracts her. Okay. Fine. You can salvage this. It's okay. So then Tony Storm goes, she like chases her away, and then she goes back up to the top rope. Zeta Ramir starts fighting back. Okay. Tony Storm gets knocked off the top rope. All right. Zeta Ramir hits a really good-looking shooting star press. It was really nice. She got some distance on that shooting star press. It was great. Really cool. And then she pins her and wins. All right. So, first things first, in the two matches we've had so far tonight, one's ended in a DQ, one's a distraction finish. Is this the main roster? Secondly... Tony Storm hasn't won a match since December. So, I get what they were trying to do here. I get, like, Tony Storm's got too cocky, and Zoe Stark made her pay with distractions and stuff. But Tony Storm should have just won. Like, I hate distraction finishes. This doesn't work, especially when Zoe Stark's a babyface. Just... And the fact it was like a clean pin as well, it was like, and sure, Tony Storm was, you know, she kind of sort of got up after the shooting star press pretty quickly after the three count, but it was just a finisher at a three count. It wasn't even like, it wasn't even a roll up. And as much as I hate roll up victories, at least that would protect Tony Storm a little bit. This didn't, and I don't like it.
Yeah. So, all right. A few quick things. First, in the promo beforehand, Tony said, like, whatever her name is, Zoe Stark needs to, like, thank her for making her famous. And I think it's just because I've seen this promo now three times in, like, 2 weeks. I'm really tired of this idea that, like, the heel says, you need to thank me for beating me. I get there are heels, but I've just seen it too much lately. Two, I thought that the shooting star press was, like, really cool in, like, an ugly sort of way. You know, like, a lot of the shooting star presses we see nowadays are, like, Matt Sydal or Lindsay Dorado, where they're, like, super clean and crisp. This was, like, kind of like a dirty, ugly shooting star press where it looked a little bit dangerous. It was like
this
an old Billy
Kidman. This was a Billy Kidman. Yeah, it was a Billy Kidman shooting star press.
And you know what? Every once in a while, I want a shooting star press, like, from Billy Kidman.
Yeah.
I really, like, this finish, this match did nothing for anyone. Like, literally nothing for anyone. To me, it made Zoe Stark's win mean less, because anyone can beat Tony Storm, I guess. We know, like, Zeta Ramir isn't gonna get, like, a push out of this. So, like, there's no point in giving her a win. It makes Toni Storm look that much worse because she hasn't won a match since December. Like, not one match. Hasn't won by DQ, hasn't won in a tag, has won literally no matches. You can't keep doing this over and over again and expect these wins to mean something. You know, like, you do it once with Zoe Stark. That was one thing that was, like, cool. I thought that worked for what they were doing. Doing it so soon again after that, to me, like, kills the whole angle, basically. Because what happens if Zoe Stark goes and beats Toni Storm again? Like, who cares? Anyone can beat Toni Storm, it looks like. Like, I don't know. It blows my mind. I love Toni Storm. She's so good. She's so good, and they're doing, like, less than nothing with her. They're making her worse.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. I'm my only hope for this, and it is a very small hope at this point, is that they're... Get out of here, Luke. Get out of here. Wins and losses don't mean anything. Goodness me. This is NXT, Luke. They're supposed to mean something. This is the one strand of WWE that's supposed to be really good. I completely lost track of what I was saying. My one hope coming out of this is that they're continually beating Toni Storm to have her turn face and be like, I need to stop. I need to rebuild myself and, like, actually sort myself out and actually remember who the Toni Storm of old is. It's a tired trope, but it would be something. It would make the whole losses make sense, at least, and actually play into a story, which is, you know, it's something.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. There's a really cool backstage promo from Legado del Fantasma. And again, it's just shot differently. What a difference it makes, because All it was a camera was really low and they had a purple light behind them. That's all you need to do to make it feel different, instead of being like, my guess at this time, and pass off to another person. It's all you need to do to make the promos feel different, and this was great. Really cool him just saying, like, you can't get one over on Santos Escobar, Joaquin Wilde, and Raul Mendoza, saying, like, we're gonna get the tag straps. Him saying he's gonna reclaim the Cruiserweight Championship. Great, perfect, loved it. Set up the main event perfectly. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Really cool stuff. We had a backstage promo with LA Knight, who said that Indy Hartwell likes him now.
In a really weird way.
Yeah, you sure know? Did.
Like, is this still a PG show? Because he said something that wasn't really PG.
Mm-mm, you know? Not really.
But,
bit weird.
Yeah, it was a strange, like, promo.
He says things in a very good way. Like, he's a very good promo. He can deliver lines very well. It's just that the lines were a bit weird this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, we then got Bronson Reed versus Austin Theory. Bronson Reed! Love that guy. However, they had the exact same backstage stare down between Bronson Reed and Johnny Gargano as they did with Kyle O'Reilly and Karrion Kross last week, to the exact point where Candice LeRae was next to Johnny Gargano in the exact same position that Scarlett was next to Karrion Kross last week. And it's like, do you not see the copy-paste just with different people in it this time? It was a bit weird. I was like, just 2 weeks in a row? Like, if they'd have separated these out by a couple weeks or something, then, you know, that's all right. But it's the exact same. Like, those two are standing there. Bronson Reed walks up. He's about to make his entrance for his match and then goes, and then goes up the stairs. And, just change it up a little bit. Change the scenery. It's like we were saying with the promos. Just change how it's shot and it makes it feel different. It was weird.
But, yeah.
You know, it's fine.
This sticks out as something where if they still taped NXT and had, like, one live episode and a bunch of other taped episodes, stuff like this wouldn't happen because they wouldn't do the exact same segment multiple weeks in a row. It's like, it didn't bother me that much, but I was like, oh, that's a little bit odd, and probably wouldn't happen if, like, a little bit more attention to detail was being made.
Yeah. Also, that's the joke. What's the joke? What's funny about it?
I don't know. Where's the joke?
No, it's not.
I'm not getting off on a tangent or anything, but I really did love on the SmackDown review how people were like, I can't believe people, that Tempest and Pete didn't get the Bailey joke where she laughed at the end. I was like, well, we got it. It just wasn't funny.
It's just bad. Yeah.
Yeah. It was poor comedy.
I will say, yeah. Austin Theory made me laugh immediately afterwards. As those two are standing there, he pops around the corner. He's like, hey, what are you guys doing in the dark? I've got a match to get ready for. Come on, guys. Like, proper, like, over the top. But it was
see, that, funny. That part was good. At least that was a little bit different. Yeah.
Yeah. That was very good. But they had the exact same stare down before that. Anyway, the Way make their entrance, and Indy Hartwell is very sad. She doesn't do the poses on the ramp with the rest of them. And she is quite a funny actor, and she just walks with her head down, like proper, like pouty, bottom lip out, walking down the ramp, just, I'm sad the whole time. Well, she walked
it
down the ramp, which
really
was
did
funny.
Feel like she was like 11.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And had her Game Boy taken away.
I'm gonna
walking through the mall with mom as she holding her hand, but she's not allowed to play Game Boy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do people play Game Boys anymore? Her iPad taken away. I don't know what kids do.
Sure. Yeah. I thought it was weird that they didn't have like a backstage promo or some sort of segment where Indy found out that Dexter had sent flowers to the other two, because I suppose, like, I don't know, maybe that's just me. Like, normally people don't know what's happened in other backstage segments in, like, WWE continuity. People don't know what's happened in other backstage segments unless people, like, overtly say it to them. So it was like, oh, Indy's sad. And I was like, wait, why is she sad? She doesn't know about the flowers yet. But I guess she does. Which, you know, is fine. It's just that in WWE continuity, it didn't quite click for me, but hey-ho. So she was very sad. The match itself was quite fun. I enjoyed Bronson Reed throwing around Austin Theory a lot. Bronson's a big man. I love Bronson Reed. He's the best. Awesome. Dexter Lumis comes out. And Indy, again, had a very funny line here where Dexter's walking around and trying to just be like, hello, I guess. I don't know what he's trying to do. He was just walking up to her.
Very slowly chasing her.
Yeah, yeah. And she gets in the ring and he kind of gets up on the apron. And she's just like, no, you talk too much. Which was very funny, again.
Made the whole segment much better.
Oh, yeah,
much
absolutely.
Better for me.
But then Lumis saves Indy, pushes her out the way of Austin Theory. He's just been whipped like into them. Pushes her out the way as he takes the full brunt of Austin Theory and gets knocked off the apron. Oh, my poor heart, how Dexter is the best or something. Which I'm sure is what everyone will be saying. And then Bronson Reed takes advantage, hits a tsunami onto Austin Theory and gets the win. So Bronson Reed set up as number one contender for the North American Championship in that sort of rematch. And we got, Lumis just continuing that thing with Indy Hartwell. This wasn't as bad as a lot of the other Dexter Indy stuff, the Index stuff that's happened. I thought this was all right. However, I will say, yet another distraction finish. That's two for the night.
Yeah, there was that. It was another wonky finish. I was unjustly censored in the news video today by the All Authority, because some people just can't handle that I like and don't like something different than them. But it's weird, because in this segment, really on this whole show, I didn't have a problem with this whole dynamic. I know it's become like a thing that I hate Dexter Lumis and this Index storyline, and I do, but like, I didn't have a problem with it this week. I still just feel like they're missing, like, a scene has been cut out of this movie that gives a little bit more context. Like, we don't have a reason for why Dexter Lumis cares about Indy. If it was just Indy going after Dexter and him, like, kind of paying her no mind, I think that would be, like, a better dynamic. But why was he chasing her around? Like, the only interactions that we've had here, the only thing that we have to go off of is that she is attractive. Like, because we haven't seen them interact in any other way other than just, like, making goo-goo eyes at each other. So if we got one of those moments to get an insight into why he is doing what he's doing, I think that this would actually probably be a very good storyline. We're just kind of missing that one part. Mm-hmm. So,
also, do we know what happened last week? You know, when they were staring at each other through a door,
and Candace Ray got beaten up? That's another thing. That's like a WWE programming issue anyway, where it's just like, what happens 10 seconds after the camera's cut, you know? And that's like a rule that they try and teach you in like screenwriting and everything. Like, what happens immediately after you cut away? I don't know. It's like, it's the same thing in the main event 2 weeks ago where Dexter Lumis just walked off with Indy Hartwell. What happened after that match, Pete?
Cause,
you just put her down and they go their separate ways?
Because it's weird to me, because they're still doing the thing of like, oh, are they going to get together? And it's like, they already have. Like, Dexter's walked away with her before from out of a match, and presumably they did some stuff in a hotel room later, I don't know. And then, like, the week after, Candice LeRae got beaten up in a locker room, and Indy and Dexter were together by a door, and assuming, you know, the door wasn't locked or something, because we don't know, then they've been together again. So, like, the whole, like, well, are they going to be together? It's like, well, they have been. So, what's the story now?
Yeah.
And like, I know what they're building to. They're going to kiss at some point, and everyone's going to go, hey! And that's it.
Yeah. Like, the story, for the most part, that's being told, I don't have a problem with. Like, a lot of people, I don't want to, like, pick out comments or whatever, but this has been, like, a thing where people a lot of time take what I say in, like, the incorrect context and everything. But, like, DeAndre here says, like, maybe Lumis has never had female attention, doesn't know how to handle things. It's like, those are fine theories, but we need that to be established by the show. Like, you can't make up your own. Yeah, you can't back up your own theories and stuff like this. And another one saying that, like, that's the point. He's supposed to be strong and silent. That's not an explanation. Mm. Like, that doesn't help. That's like a two bullet points of his character. But that doesn't show motivation or goals or anything like that. Like, there needs to be motivation for every character, basically, in all forms of media. That's what make characters interesting, is their goals and what is behind those goals. So when you don't have any goals, and at least none that have been portrayed by the actual show, I kind of lose interest a little bit. And that's my rant for the week. Go nuts, comments.
Done. There's the Dexter Lumis portion of this show. We then had Kushida and MSK backstage, who are going to be teaming in the main event. MS Kushida, as Kushida said.
Yep.
All right. Fair
I
enough.
I like the trio, even if they didn't win.
Yeah.
Just three likable dudes.
Yep. Just kidding. We're not done with Dexter Lumis, because we've got a Way promo backstage where Johnny starts lambasting Austin Theory for just being like, what were you thinking? Like, you set up this match with Bronson Reed in the first place for number one contendership for the North American Championship. What you doing, son? But then they said, oh, yeah, it's all Dexter Lumis's fault for distracting Indy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Candace said, no, it's Ember and Shotzi's fault, because they're getting the flowers that are actually meant for you, Indy. So what you going to do about it? So the point being that Johnny and Candace have sent the flowers, and they're just trying to rile up Indy here. Totally get that.
Perfect segment. Excellent stuff.
Is it, though? Because now, Johnny and Candace have been telling Indy repeatedly, stop being interested in Dexter. Stop being interested in Dexter. It's the worst. He's bad for you. Stop it. And now they've said, well, they're getting flowers that you should have got, because you should be with Dexter. What are you going to do about that, huh? Because Dexter's great and he's sending flowers to other people. It's like, well, what one is it? Is he bad or is he good?
Well, I didn't see this as them saying, like, Dexter's so good, as much as like, oh, well, because first they were like, it's Dexter's fault. Look at this dick. He's sending flowers to other women. What? Mm-hmm. He can't like him. It's their fault, too. They're talking to the person who's supposed to be your man. So to me, it's like, they're trying to distract her and turn her frustration towards the people they're trying to beat up. I thought the segment was really good. Yeah.
It is. It's just that one bit where it's literally just like, this is Dexter's fault. This is their fault. Because it's the bit where it's like, the flowers should be for you. And it's like, so you're saying that she should be getting the flowers from, and I know they're just manipulating her, and I know that's the point. But it was just a bit weird to me. That's all. Anyway. That's the Dexter portion of the show done. sort of. Then we got Imperium versus Dane and Maverick in tag team match. Drake Maverick just being super hyper conscious of Kimmy and Dane. And just be like, I don't want to be near you because you're just going to turn on me the whole time. Like, you're just going to turn on me. That's what's going to happen. It's a nice little story. And there was quite a cool moment in the match where Drake Maverick's getting worked over. And he's just like crawling backwards to try and get the tie. He's got his hand up behind him and he's just crawling it. He's just crawling backwards. But Marcel Barthel on the outside pulls off Killian Dane so that he's not there for the tag, which is exactly what Drake said in the pre-match promo of just being like, well, you're not going to be there for my tag. And he turns around and he's like, and he's not there. Shocker. Guess that's going to happen. And I was like, oh, that's kind of heartbreaking for Drake Maverick. Oh, that's sad. Fabian Eichner comes in with a massive knee to the back of the head. I was like, okay, this is leading into the finish. It wasn't.
Nope. Just kept
it
going.
It was not the finish. Just kind of carried on. But it was a good spot regardless. I quite liked it anyway. And but then later on, we got some dissension between Imperium because Marcel Barthel on the outside tells Wolf to get a chair and hit Killian Dane with a chair. And Wolf gets the chair and he goes to do it and he can't do it. He can't hit Killian Dane with a chair. So then Bartel's like, what the hell, man? What you doing? Dane goes to pick up Barthel to beat him up. And Wolf stands in front of him, just like, you don't want to do that, do you? You don't want to beat up Marcel Barthel. And he's like, damn, you're right. I guess I don't. So then he gets beaten up because of that. And then Drake Maverick ends up getting beaten because of it. Really nice finishing spot, I thought. Looked very nice. Drake Maverick gets beaten up. Barthel and Wolf are kind of falling out. They had a little thing on the stage afterwards where they were celebrating, all three of them standing in a row. They all do the hands behind the back thing. Then Wolf steps forward to be ahead of the other two, and they kind of look at each other and then step forward to be the same in the same row as Wolf. So it's all like Imperium has dissension and Drake Maverick and Killian Dane have dissension and Dane and Wolf have some sort of partnership brewing. I'm interested in it. A lot of moving parts. And I'm interested in it. I don't know where it's going. And I don't want Imperium to break up. That's my concern. I wouldn't mind if Dane joined them. But it looks like Wolf is going to split off and form a tag team with Dane. And then Barthel and Eichner are going to remain the tag team. Which I'm not a fan of if that's the direction they're going.
Yeah. So I said earlier that I was going to talk about that promo in relation to this match. I liked the promo that it happened. I think it portrayed Drake Maverick as like a really smart babyface, which is good. When it got to the match, a few things. One, I found it really weird that he was crawling backwards to make the tag just for the sake of not being able to see Dane getting pulled off the apron. Like, it's really nitpicky, but I don't like when situations are created that don't feel natural. Because no one would ever do that. Like, no one's ever crawling backwards to make a tag like that unless there's a spot. So that's one thing. Not a huge deal, but it's like a little detail that I noticed. Two, I didn't really like how Dane getting pulled off the apron didn't factor into Maverick's, like, the rest of Maverick's match. Like, I thought this would end up being like Dane would get up, get in the ring, and Drake would be like, no, you abandoned me. Like, push him off. Have like a moment like that where they're teasing dissension between the two, but we never really got that. So if we get that next week, fine, no problem. For 1 week, I'm just kind of like, I don't know how I felt about it. I totally agree about Imperium. I'm not like the biggest, I love Walter. Walter is the man. He's one of the best in the world. I don't really care about the rest of Imperium, if I'm being totally honest. I prefer them more as a package than as a bunch of smaller groups. And like, if they just split off and have Barthel and Fabian Eichner wrestling together, like, I really don't care in that case. Like, to me, that's just like a tag team of two guys that don't have like a whole lot of personality. They're just kind of like two heels. So I hope they don't go that direction, but it looks like they are. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I really like Marcel Barthel. I don't know what it is about him. I just really enjoy watching him perform. I don't know whether it's like just like his facial expressions or something draws me to him when he's wrestling. So I really like him. And I think I like Imperium a lot. I like just the whole character and Walter being the leader. Here's a question. In kayfabe, where's Walter?
That's a good question.
Why isn't he with them? Like, obviously, we know the reason, because he doesn't want to be in the US and all that stuff. But in kayfabe, why is he not stepping in when the people in his little group are having infighting?
Yeah.
A bit weird, that, I thought.
You would think there would at least be, like, a backstage segment where he's, like, I don't know, FaceTiming them or something. I don't know uses FaceTime, because he seems like more of, like, I don't know. I don't know what he seems like, but it doesn't seem like someone who is Walter would use FaceTime.
Are you calling him technologically impaired?
I don't know what it is about him. I feel like he belongs in, like, a shack, just chopping wood, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you would think that they would have a segment where he's like, God damn, get your act together, boys. We're Imperium. We're a unit. But I guess not.
Maybe they'll have it. Maybe they'll have it now, because they are still, like, nothing's happened yet. They're still teasing the dissension. So maybe when it progresses, maybe we'll get a Walter interference, which is fine.
Yeah. I will say there was a lot of progression in this segment. You know, the last couple weeks, we've kind of been like, where is this going? It's very kind of unclear what the direction is, but I feel like we got a much clearer direction in this segment than we had in weeks past. So I'll give them a thumbs up for that. It definitely felt like this was a segment that they kind of, like, gave the push forward. Like, they took the next step this week, whereas others were like, this is the maintenance week where you're just kind of, like, furthering everything along. Because that's the point of NXT. Like, you don't want to progress every storyline every week, but you want to focus on something every week. And this was the one this week that got the next step. So good thumbs up for that. I like that.
Yes. If you're keeping track, that's yet another distraction finish. Just throwing it out there. We then got Pete Dunne with a quick promo saying he's the baddest man in NXT, and he proves anyone to wants someone to prove him wrong. Cool, liked it.
Yeah,
and I quite like the fact when he was like, "Hey, I've literally beaten everyone. Like, cruiserweight champion Kushida, beating him. Johnny Gargano, NXT North American champion, beating him. I can get any gold I want in this company at any time. I want someone to prove me wrong that I'm not the baddest man in this company." So, cool.
Yeah,
like it.
Pretty really liked it. I find it really odd that he beat Kushida at TakeOver and has done precisely nothing since.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I get it. You wanted to keep him strong, but, like, you would think they would at least give him, like, a program afterwards. Like, he feels like a guy that's just on standby.
Totally,
and 100%. I saw someone mention this in the comments, and I would be very kind of curious to see if they would do this, because there's so many people who have said, like, I want a shot at the NXT championship. I could see them doing, like, a six-pack challenge at TakeOver, because they've never done that before.
That'd be really cool.
And it's like Cross, Balor, Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Pete Dunne, and find another guy. But, like, just have everybody in there. It would be, like, a really good match. It would be really fun. Let's do that.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. We then got the follow-up promo from Cameron Grimes, who finally finds a watch that he likes, which is very nice. But then the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase, comes in and says, it's not a million-dollar watch, and shows the one that he's got. And then he leaves. I'm all in on Ted DiBiase just being a foil to Cameron Grimes' plans, because he can be. I'm all for that. That's great. And also, a tiny little note on this one. I don't know if people noticed. Cameron Grimes, in the first segment, went into the shop when it was daytime. Ted DiBiase left, and it was nighttime. I love the insinuation that Cameron Grimes was there all day looking at watches. That would be amazing.
I did not notice that. I really like that.
Yeah, it's just very funny. It's just very funny. And sometimes that's all you need. Yeah, it's great. We then had, we were supposed to have, the Robert Stone brand versus Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. But the way start beating up Moon and Blackheart, because they Moon and Blackheart were being delivered more stuff, supposedly, from Dexter Lumis, like chocolates and cupcakes and flowers. Why were they being delivered during their entrance, Tempest?
I don't know, Pete. Everything's got to happen on camera.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Just take it to the locker room.
Yeah.
Then they can get it after the match. I don't know. But anyway, they before they can accept them properly, the way come out and beat them up. The Robert Stone brand in the ring are celebrating like they've won
no
the titles.
No idea what these two were doing.
Started celebrating, holding up the titles like they've won them. The match wasn't even for the titles in the first place. Match didn't start. And then they get beaten up, and like Candice Ray shows a cupcake in their faces and stuff like that. And then it just cuts to the commentary table, like, before the segment is even properly finished. Like, that Candice LeRae is, like, going in for a punch as the camera cuts away to Wade Barrett and just going, anyway, here's Adam Cole with an ESPN guy. It's like, is that segment done? Are we finished with that one now? It was, all right.
Yeah.
Strange pacing, but hey.
And I mean, and they're getting another tag title shot, Pete.
They sure are.
It's happening again.
Yeah.
They haven't. They've won one match since January. They've lost to Ember and Shotzi three times in a row, but they're getting another title shot. God damn it.
In a street fight, which means, you know, Dexter Lumis is getting involved.
It means they're all wearing jeans.
It's true. Yeah, they have to. It's the dress code for street fights. However, we then got this promo from Adam Cole, which I bloody loved. I loved this promo. It's not a hot take to say that Adam Cole's a very good promo. God, he's so good. Everything he says just feels so natural. And it feels like he's just having a conversation while cutting one of the best promos in a while on NXT. Mm-hmm. And him just saying, like, you know, the thing that I really liked about Adam Cole's stuff is that he's an out-and-out heel. He's a bit of a knob. He's really arrogant and all that stuff. But every question that he got asked in this interview, he answered. He actually answered the thing. Because the classic heel thing is they get asked a question and go, well, I'm the best, so, yeah. And that's it. And that's the whole point of the promo. Adam Cole answers every question that he gets given and answers it in such a way that puts himself over every single time. And he's just the best, saying that people are calling Kyle O'Reilly the new face of NXT. And he's saying, no, because he could never take my spot. He might be there right now because I'm not on the show. But as soon as I get back, no one can take my spot. I'm the best, basically. And the guy was saying, what's next for Adam Cole then? He goes, I know. It's none of your business. I know where I'm going, but you don't deserve to know. No one deserves to know. It's my business. It was just like, it's just so, it all just flowed. It was so natural. Just at poolside, and like he was being a knob at the start, just being on the phone, and the guy was like, oh no, we're just waiting for you. He's like, oh, you're waiting for me, are you? Okay, cool, no worries. And then at the end, he was like, I can't believe you make me wait at the start of the interview. In this heat, like you couldn't even be organized and stuff like that. It's just so good. I love this promo. Can you tell? Anyway, sorry. I talked for a while there.
You know what my favorite part was, Pete?
When
they cut away at the end of the interview and you see Kyle O'Reilly watching TV like a normal person.
He's sitting in a room and the TV's in front of him. Crazy.
And you know what? Everyone knew who it was and everyone knew what he was doing. Because people know what happens when you watch a TV. This was like they discovered fire. Honest to God, it was like the greatest discovery that WWE has ever made.
It's so good. And yeah, Kyle O'Reilly was watching TV, so that's still spinning that plate at the same time. Yes! Do more of this! This was great. God, I love that promo. It was so good. And then we got the main event, which we'll talk about quickly because we are going to overrun, which was Legado del Fantasma versus MS Kushida, the team of MSK and Kushida. Kushida's got boots back on now. He had the 1 week of having no shoes, but he's got them back now. And he's got shorter shorts. Anyway.
Likes short shorts? I like short shorts.
I thought this was a really, really good main event. Really, really enjoyed this match. I like the fact that Legado del Fantasma are obviously the more tight-knit team out of the two because it is just a tag team and another guy that have just been shoved together on the babyface side, and they just exploited that the whole time. They just worked together better than the babyfaces, which is what should happen. And you have a point.
I just made a discovery why I like this so much. You know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of the early days of the Shield.
Yes, 100%.
Where it was three babyfaces who usually don't team, like Cena, Sheamus, and Ryback. And you separate them, put one through the announce table, and then just triple team them to death.
Yeah.
And it worked every time, and it always looked good, because everyone got to do stuff. More of this. More of this.
Absolutely. Yeah, put Kushida through a table. Santos Escobar, just put him through a table, not like a 3-on-1 assault to put Kushida through the table. He just took Kushida and just powerbombed him through the announce table. Great. Kushida's been taken out of the match. One of the babyfaces, it was Nash Carter, went to go check on Kushida because he's a good babyface and he likes to check on his teammate, and got punished for it because he went to go check and he got beaten up on the outside. Great. Love it. Everyone's characters make a lot of sense. They beat up Wesley. Yeah. They beat him up 3-on-1 for ages, and he had a really cool, like, hot babyface comeback bit where he was like, I'm getting beaten up 3-on-1, I'm getting destroyed, and then suddenly he starts fighting all three of them off at the same time, and it was great, and it was building organically to this huge Nash Carter hot tag, and he's like, crawls his way back up onto the ropes, and he finally manages to make the tag. He hits like two moves and then immediately gets shut down, and was just like, and your hot tag's done. Finished. That's it. And Kushida just about gets crawls his way back into the ring. Officials coming out to check on him and stuff. He's like, no, I need to keep wrestling. Gets back into the ring. Immediate phantom driver from Santos Escobar. And then Joaquin Wild and Raul Mendoza hit their tag team finish onto Carter and just pin him. And I was like, wow, this is great. This was awesome.
It was such like a statement match.
Yeah,
you know, really like awesome. A lot of the times, some of these main events, like, they have a great match just to have a great match. This wasn't that. This was them saying, this is the direction for these six people, and we're making a firm statement about like where we're going and how we're doing it. I had no complaints. I thought the main event was excellent. I thought it was laid out perfectly. I thought everyone played their roles perfectly. And I don't, some people don't like MSK, and I don't really understand why. I mean, to each their own. Like, a lot of people like Dexter Lumis, and I don't. You're allowed to have that opinion, but I think in a match like this, they just shine so much, and it just does so much to make Legado del Fantasma look like such just reprehensible heels, but still so good. You know, like, they didn't really cheat at all in this match. Like, they double teamed. They were just a better team. And sometimes you just want the heels to be better than the baby faces.
Exactly, because they're a unit of three people that are better at wrestling together than the team of a tag team and another dude. They've just been pushed together. It's perfect. Loved it. Loved it so much. And it says what they all posed with all three of the titles after the show as well. They held up the Cruiserweight and the tag titles, which, again, I'm all for. Make it LDF versus MSK for the tag titles. Have MSK retain. Then you can have the Grizzled Young Vets going after them afterwards. Like, it all...
Exactly.
It all makes sense. And I'm loving the direction for all of these guys. And you get more of Kushida wrestling, which we haven't seen in ages. Consistently. So since he's won the title, he's done a ton more wrestling. Just keep that going, because Kushida's a great wrestler. So, you know, big thumbs up all around for that. And that was the only clean finish of the night. Was in the main event, if you're keeping track. So overall, I thought this was an okay show. There was a lot of stuff I hate. Like, the finish of a match is so important to me. Like, you can have the best in-ring quality match. If you have a dud finish on it, I'm probably not going to like it that much. So the finishes of matches really, really, like, dictate how much I enjoy a match, to the point where, like, I have such a higher opinion of Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair from WrestleMania, because I thought the finish was absolutely spot on, because they were building up to the hair spot for the whole thing. Yep. She gets the one shotgun blast of the whip and just straight across Sasha Banks' torso, hits the KOD and wins. And I was like, that is absolutely spot on perfect. If that had been a different finish, I probably wouldn't have liked the match so much. So for this show to have one clean finish on the whole thing for NXT, not a good sign. But the in-ring quality was very good. I'm enjoying some of the progression in a lot of the stories. I'm still not sold on the index stuff. I'm sorry, guys. But it was okay. It's not as bad as previous weeks. It's still, you know, perfectly acceptable. And I love the main event. I'd give it a 3 out of 5, personally. Yeah.
I was leaning towards doing like a 2 out of 5 until the main event. And I was like, that sounds too harsh. So I would say it's like, it's a low 3 out of 5. It's like, it was still like, I didn't think this was a bad show. And to me, 2 out of 5 is like a below average show.
Absolutely.
So, and maybe this was per NXT standards, but I don't know. I still felt like that was too harsh. And I went 3 out of 5 in the written review, and I still think that's about right.
But yes, we need to get into the rest of your Ultra Chats. Last call for those who want to get them in, WrestleTalk.com/support get in your Ultra Chats, and we'll get through every single one of them before we get out of here. So, the bad one, Ryan B. Bad, comes in to say, Tempest hates love, confirmed. Stop being an index hater. It's a fun story and finally giving more personality to Indy. Also, Frankie is the new Team Taz. She interrupts everyone's interviews.
I mean, I had my rant on this.
It's like, true.
Like, if you can't understand why I don't like it, then me explaining it further probably isn't going to help. You know? This is like I don't have to like it, guys. That's the thing. Like, everyone's allowed to like different things. I'm not telling you that you're wrong for liking this. I'm not gonna go all Cornette and say that anybody who likes this thing that I don't like is an idiot. But, you know, just live and let live.
Yeah, it's a fun story if you enjoy it.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a thing that shows up like at least 3 times on every show, and it's a little bit much if you're not into it.
Yeah. On the subject of Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, Sadie6969 Deegan says, what's up, beautiful boys? Hey. I hope you're both having a wonderful day. It's been all right. What do y'all see Adam Cole doing from here? Rematch with Kyle? But then what? I'm worried he's flatlining. It's not a WrestleTalk live stream without technical difficulties. Love you both.
Okay.
I'm hoping that they go the route of the multi-man match for the NXT Championship, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I hope that Karrion Kross retains out of it, because I think that would help elevate Cross higher, because so far he's kind of won in quite quick matches and he hasn't had that big kind of like standout performance. Him retaining over a bunch of guys that want a shot at the title would be good. Whoever doesn't get pinned in that match has a grievance to then go on to face Cross again afterwards, because they weren't the one that were involved in the decision. And there's a load of people that kind of want to be involved in that mix right now. I'm hoping it still keeps Adam Cole relevant. He has the history. If Kyle's also in that match, they have the history together of that. That's a really interesting element of that match. So I think that's the most logical way to go.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much bang on the banana. You know, it's just like, if you have, even if it's just like those 5 guys that I mentioned earlier, you can have Karrion Kross have a good match where he can be limited and not do like too much, but also get a big win, have him pin like Pete Dunne and continue on. And then Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole can probably have another match coming out of that. And then have Finn Balor go and get his one-on-one rematch at like the takeover after that. Like, everyone wins in that scenario. I think that's a pretty good idea, honestly.
And you could
I wish I could take credit for it, but I did see a good portion of that in the chat. So shout out to you guys.
Yeah. Well done, chat. And also, I think if you wanted to do it this way, you could build a feud out of the multi-man match for Adam Cole. If you didn't want to do a Kyle O'Reilly thing again, you could have Cole be cost the title by Pete Dunne, and you have an Adam Cole Pete Dunne feud afterwards.
Sure.
We could totally.
All the possibilities are good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Got one here from the headmaster, Jonathan Hedman, who says, can we just appreciate the fact that Mercedes Martinez escaped retribution mostly intact? Yes. Isn't that great?
I did think about that this week watching the show. I was like, you were in retribution and now they're broken up.
Yeah. Thank God. Yeah. She made a smart choice. The bad one, Ryan B. Bad, said, God, Toni Storm's promo was terrible. Also, this may be an unpopular opinion, but she's pretty mediocre in the ring. She was the worst thing on the show.
Well, I think she was put in a pretty poor position. Like, I don't think she was in this show to have the best match or segment. I would disagree that she's mediocre in the ring. I think Toni Storm is wonderful. It's like watching her matches in the Mae Young Classic and Stardom and the match she had with EO, which I guess was in the Mae Young Classic, but it was at Evolution. Like, such good stuff. Like, I want more of that EO instead of whatever they're, or not EO, of Toni, instead of what they're doing now.
Yep, exactly, yeah. Bacon Rasher actually makes a point that I wanted to bring up in the review but forgot to. Who says, hi again, lads. I like how NXT switch it up each week. For example, no Cross, Balor, O'Reilly, but I do think the show sometimes lacks a bit of star power without them. Loving Gibson as always, but when I'm at an NXT event in the UK, the shoes are coming off. Jam that jam. I was going to make that point in the review but totally forgot. I love that so much, that The focus of last week was Kyle O'Reilly. Like, he opened and he closed the show. And on this week, he was there for 30 seconds while he watched Adam Cole. Adam Cole made his big return since TakeOver, cut a little backstage promo. Cross wasn't on the show entirely. You know, Raquel Gonzalez was there, but she was at ringside for a Dakota Kai match. Like, the focus of each show shifts, so you don't see the same person in the same role every single week, which is what you see on the main roster. As much as I love Roman Reigns, he does the same thing every week, which is cut a promo. A really good promo, a wonderful promo, normally, but it is the same thing every week.
Yeah.
I love that NXT changes things up. Yeah. Big agree on that front. Dennis Ruth says, don't you see the history between Kylie and Dane and Alexander Wolfe as they were both Insanity? Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
I think that's the point.
They definitely do have history. They're definitely playing off that. I don't want to see Imperium split up. Sorry.
Yeah. I think that's basically it. Like, I prefer them doing their own things now than a reunion.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, if it's going to be a Dane and Wolf tag team, they're just making worse Sanity.
Like, yeah.
I don't want them to do that. It's just Sanity, but worse, because we don't have two of the people in it, which is just not something I'm interested in seeing. Projection 2K says, two questions. Who do you think is Diamond Mine? We talked about that at the start of the show. Go back and watch it. I was going to throw up the picture, but you can watch the start of it, because I think that Ryan Satin's on the money when he is anticipating that. And number two, I was watching 2012 Raw with John Laurinaitis. But do you think Alexa Bliss could pull off being the new AJ Lee of the women's division? Also, why did you blow up Mr. Davis? I didn't. I've answered this several times. I didn't. It wasn't me. Do you think Alexa Bliss could pull off being the new AJ Lee? I don't know what that means.
Yeah. I mean, AJ Lee's character was, for at least the time period that you're talking about, was just like she was the crazy chick. Mm-hmm. And that was her character. Ultimately, she grew into a much bigger character than that with her kind of like vendetta against the Total Divas stuff. But I don't know. I think, like, I don't like the whole Alexa Bliss fiend stuff that they're doing, but it's different. She is very clearly being the first weird Alexa Bliss character as opposed to the next former character, and I think that's probably better for her. Makes her stand out, makes her more unique.
Yeah. I think she could, if she wanted to have that character, she probably could pull off being the crazy chick, because I think the acting she's done as part of like the whole Lady Fiend thing, she's pretty good at. But like, yeah, I don't think she should right now anyway. LJ Mickey says, hi guys, which one of the Avengers could be a good wrestler? I think Black Widow or Spider-Man. Thanks for the content. Jam that jam. Spider-Man's already beaten Randy Savage in a wrestling match.
Yeah, I saw that movie. And if you played Spider-Man PS4, like, all of his finishing moves are wrestling moves. He hits the Kamigoye as one of his moves. He hits Hurricanranas. There's like, yeah, it's Spider-Man.
Bone saws ready. I got you for 3 minutes. Three minutes of late time. I loved him in that movie. Goodness me. The Zornice comes in to say, is it funny that I watch two guys? One is wearing a mask, but I'm wondering why the other one is wearing a cap while A, being indoors, and B, while wearing headphones? Or is that just wrestling and me being old? Hope you two are doing well. Thank you, Zornice. I'm wearing a cap because, genuinely, I find when I'm wearing a cap, I feel more focused. I don't know whether it's like I block out exterior stimuli that distract me from my working day, but I do normally just wear a cap while I'm working because it focuses me in, especially when I've got like a busy day. I'm like, okay, today's a cap day. It's your thinking cap. It's my thinking cap, exactly. Yeah. And it genuinely just kind of like beelines me. And because it's a Wednesday, we have our big team meeting at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday, which goes until about 2:30. And then immediately afterwards, I got really thrown off because Luke put in the chat, Pete, don't check WhatsApp. And immediately in my head, I'm going, well, I've got to check WhatsApp. Luke, why would you message that when I'm on air? Because all I want to do is check WhatsApp. Anyway. It just makes me focus. And because we had our team meeting, we immediately went from that team meeting into recording NXT. So I didn't change. I've still got my cap. So that's why I'm wearing a cap, which was a much more in-depth explanation than
a lot of
warranted.
People a lot of people in the chat have been saying that you look like Eminem. Like,
I've
the entire
that.
Stream. But yeah. Anyway, what better way to close off this episode of the NXT podcast? Oh, Lord.
Oh, my
what's
God.
In WhatsApp? What's in WhatsApp?
It's a picture of Mr. Davis.
Oh, bother.
He's got his... Mr. Davis is getting his hair transplant done. It's a pretty grim photo that I can't show on air. That one.
Oh, dear.
Ooh, doesn't look good. Mm. Oh, boy. That's... glad I wasn't eating at the time. thanks, Luke. That's it. That's all the Ultra Chats, I think.
Yeah, that's the last one.
Sorry, I got very
nailed
distracted.
It.
All right, so we've got loads of emails to get through, but first things first, you played Pokemon. What game? How did it go? Did you enjoy it? Tell me your team. Tell me everything.
So I've been on a bit of a Pokemon binge lately. So mm-hmm. I think I played through Crystal recently, okay. And then I played through Emerald. And the one I really want to play through right now is Platinum, but I'm saving that excitement and wanting to play through Sinnoh for when the Sinnoh remakes come out later this year, and I'll just play them then. So instead, I skipped over that generation and went straight to Pokemon Black and White 2.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the only thing that keeps me from going back to that game more regularly is I don't like the starters in that generation.
That's totally fair.
I find them, like, they might be the weakest generation for starters, because even in other generations where I only like one of the starters, mm-hmm. like, at least I'll like that one. I don't like any of these three. So...
yeah,
I was like, I'll just go with it, see what happens. And so I started playing the game, and eventually I got to Castellia City, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna have an all Eeveelution team.
Oh,
and
yes.
I went to the little garden, and I caught five mm-hmm. Eevees. And so my team was Umbreon, Espeon, Jolteon, Flareon, Vaporeon. And then I didn't know you could do this, but I found just a Braviary hanging out in like a little corner of the route right before the desert resort, and I was like, well, there's number six. That's the sixth one right there, you know. I can use fly and stuff, and that's a strong bird Pokemon. Like, I had no idea you could catch it that early in the game, but it was like a wild. It was like one of those like overworld Pokemon, you know, that you can actually interact with. So that was my team. Honestly, very enjoyable. It had been a very long time. I did something similar where I didn't play through the game with the Eeveelution team, but I made like a competitive Eeveelution team, and it was in the same game. But that was like many years ago. I was in high school. It was a good little bit of fun. You know, I really like these games. I think to me, this is where Pokemon like storyline wise peaked. Mm-hmm. You know, they had 100%. Like, you know, the Team Plasma stuff with N, and you know, the actual sequel to the game. And I thought that was like all just awesome when I saw it the first time. So it was really fun to play through that game again, but with a slightly different way of doing it, where I just binned my starter Pokemon and went with something else.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. I love, like you said, Generation 5 has probably the weakest starter lineup, but there's so many Pokemon from that region that I love. Like, some of the designs from that gen are some of the absolute best. When you've got stuff like Haxorus and Hydreigon, and you've got Chandelure, and it's like, oh my god, all of you are so good. Yeah, it's got genuinely some of my favorite Pokemon in Gen 5. So yeah, I kind of want to go play it now. You've made me excited. But we should probably crack on with some emails here, because we've been getting loads of them. Thank you so much, everyone that's been emailing in. If you want to email in, support@wrestletalk.com is the place to do it. And we might get your email read out on a show, maybe. We got one here from the headmaster, Jonathan Headman. The subject of the email is just lost intangibles. I'm so glad that's getting over. Good appropriate time of day, intangibles. I was thinking about the issue that Masked Man was dealing with. That's you. And wanted to share these photos. You see the town I live in, we have roaming wild chickens and roosters. They've become the town's official mascot. Needless to say, they aren't going anywhere. These photos are at the local post office. The funniest place I've seen them is at a Chick-fil-A. Anyway, have a great day. And Tempest, don't go all Alice in Chains on the one. It was just the one, wasn't it? Anywho, jam that jam, Jonathan. And he's attached pictures of literally just chickens and roosters just vibing. Just straight up hanging out in very public places. So, yeah. Thanks for that, Jonathan. How's your rooster situation doing?
Still there. Still there. Honest, if this isn't the biggest advertisement to never try and get the city of Toronto to do anything for you, I don't know what is. Like, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. This sucker, I think we called for the first time, like, either the first week of April or the last week of March, and it's just been the saga that never ends. The latest update that we got, because it was supposed to be like hard cutoff date gone last Wednesday, and we're a full week removed from that. Still there. But on Thursday, I called them and they were like, hey, still here. Can someone do something about that? They're like, oh, we'll send someone out on the Friday. I don't know if someone went or not, but they were like, oh, if it's still there after that, call us next week, which is now this week. It's still there. Literally, as we were in our morning meeting, I heard the thing going, and I was like, oh my God, it never ends. It never ends. So we've now been given the new cutoff date of like this coming Saturday. So I can't wait to wake up and review SmackDown with a goddamn rooster crowing in the background. Like, it really is just like, it's the new member of WrestleTalk. Like, it's not going away.
It's WrestleCock.
It's WrestleCock.
Yeah.
God damn. when I tell you, I like hate nothing more in life right now than this bird. And it just won't leave me alone.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it. It's very unfortunate. But let's get into another email. We've got one here from Juan. Not Juan Gabriel. Another Juan.
Juan Cena.
Not that one either. But the subject of this one is Lost Intangibles, the Wrestle Talk. Love it. Please keep calling us that. It fuels my ego. Juan says, my men, LIW, how you doing? This week, I just want to know, is there a really embarrassing story that you haven't told anyone? And then they say their embarrassing story. I've pre-read this one. It's quite embarrassing.
Oh, dear.
Also, if you're eating, maybe not a good time. Maybe don't listen to this or stop eating. One of the two. Mine would be about a time I was with a group doing like a walking marathon. They called it the ecological route or route, I guess, wherever you're from. So it was 2 days. The first one we walked 18 kilometers and the second day we were supposed to walk around 30 kilometers. But in the end, I couldn't. My right foot gave out and I was struggling to keep going. Anyway, the embarrassing story is that at the beginning of the second day, I really had to go to the bathroom and do the number two. We were in a rural zone and I went to a local's bathroom. The thing is, after I was done, I noticed that the toilet clogged up. I didn't know the people there and I didn't see a plunger anywhere near. What I did then is that I thanked the people for letting me use their bathroom and went away as fast as I could. Told my friends I was ready to keep going. So to this day, you're the first people I've told this. I'm still embarrassed of that as I should be. Thank you for listening. And now you've not just told us, you've told everyone listening. Thanks, Juan.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that that isn't embarrassing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would probably like haunt me. But I mean, until now, the only people that would have known about this were like the two people who lived there.
Yep. Yep. It's true.
That's not too bad. You kind of ruined that by having it read aloud on a podcast, but you know, for a long time it wouldn't have been that big of an issue.
Yeah, exactly. An embarrassing story that comes to my mind. See, I thought of one and I was going to say it and I'm like, I don't know if I want to broadcast that actually. Maybe I won't say that because I've not really told anyone.
You need like the right level of embarrassment. Where it's embarrassing enough that you haven't told anyone, but also not embarrassing enough that you don't want to like publicly shame yourself.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a good one. It's not super embarrassing, but it definitely was at the time, which was my very first night of university. Because I'd only just turned 18 like the month before, and obviously the drinking age in the UK is 18. So I was not very well versed with alcohol at all. And first night of university, we obviously had drinking games and things, getting to pre-drinks with everyone, you getting to know people with your alcohol, people that was living around you and all that stuff. And we played Ring of Fire. And for anyone that's played Ring of Fire, it can get very messy. And guess who lost twice? This guy here. So I had to do two dirty pints. Night did not end well for me. It was a complete mess afterwards. And it got to the point where I was carried back to my room. And my brand new friends that I just met that night decided to take out everything that I owned and bury me under it. So all of my clothes, all of my food, everything out of my fridge. They literally propped me up next to the toilet because I was obviously puking pretty bad. And then they drew on my face. One of them just put an apple in my hand just because they could. And then just put everything that I owned in the bathroom with me. So you can imagine my confusion when I woke up the next morning and everything I owned was in the bathroom next to me. And I was like, what happened? I probably wasn't embarrassed at the time because I was probably too drunk for that, but I very much was in the morning. Goodness me, that was awful. That's the story that comes to mind for me. That was my first night of uni. Whew.
I've got a similar story that I can tell. I haven't told on a podcast or anything like that up to this point.
I will say, I know I did just talk for a while, but do make it relatively quick because we do have the actual show to record.
No, don't you worry, my friend. And this was not super recent, but it was recently enough. Recently enough that I should be old enough and know better. But if anyone lives in Ontario or knows the whereabouts of things in Ontario, I live closer to a place that's known as Etobicoke, which is a little suburb on the west side of Toronto. If you keep going further west and a little bit north, you get to Brampton, which is kind of a desert wasteland, very flat, very, a lot of traffic. But a number of my friends lived in Brampton, and I was there for an engagement party at one point, and got a little bit too drunk, and it was about a $50 or $60 Uber to make it home. And I just decided I didn't want to pay that on that night in my inebriated state. So it was 2 a.m. and I put on my headphones and I just started walking. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I'll go where this trail takes me. Mm-hmm. And I probably walked until about 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to 3 Days Grace the whole time, having just a ball, walking mm-hmm. down this really dark, desolate road in Brampton, absolutely should have been shanked and just left in a ditch. And eventually just started hitchhiking, just sticking out my thumb, and eventually a Skip the Dishes driver pulled over. It was you want a ride, man? I was I would love one. Dropped me off at home, and I passed out on my front lawn at 8 a.m. only to be woken up by my mom. And I can only imagine her reaction. So waking up in a haze on a front lawn at 8 a.m. I was oh God, what happened? Literally The Hangover.
Yeah.
You wake up, what has happened?
Yeah. How am I here? What events could have possibly transpired to get me into this situation?
Do I have any new tattoos I didn't know about?
Anyway, that's probably going to be all the time we've got. I'm sorry we didn't get through more of your emails, but we will continue to do so on the SmackDown podcast that's coming up on Saturday and the NXT podcast next week as well. And we'll keep that going. When am I taking time off? Is it next week or the week after? I think it's the week after. So I'm going to be away the week after next. So there's going to be no intangibles the week after next. Oh, my God. Oh, crazy. Yeah, I know. We'll have someone else. I think Luke is stepping in for me. I can't remember what we agreed. But we've still got another full week yet. Don't worry. The intangibles are still going for another week. So we've got SmackDown and NXT and then obviously SmackDown after that next week. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Really do appreciate it. Take care of each other out there. Stay safe. We love you very much. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Hi, This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.